Welcome to Layup Lines. I'm your host, Seth Horton, joined as always by Chap the Chap Daddy Chapman.
Ayo.
Whoo, Chap, we have so much to catch up on.
Oh my freaking gosh.
All right, first things first, we haven't talked since, you know, like the bowl season started, right?
Yeah.
For football?
We haven't started since before bowl season, you're right.
All
right,
okay. Yes. So college football happened. Some teams won, some teams lost. We will not address that on this pod because I'm a South Carolina fan. And I'm just gonna be very straight up about that. So if you came here hoping to hear us recap it, so the Pats won the Super Bowl.
I thought we weren't gonna address that either because I hate the Patriots.
But everyone hates the Patriots. If we didn't address it, we would never talk about the NFL.
That's fair. The thing about the Super Bowl for me, though, is I hate the Patriots and the Rams because the Rams beat the Titans in the Super Bowl. And so I just was stuck rooting for a team that I hated.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, all I really want to talk about is how this Super Bowl was kind of the worst.
First of all, there was like one good commercial the entire time.
There was one good... which commercial? Because I think I missed it.
I don't even remember.
Well...
Like, it wasn't good enough to remember, but it was just like, okay, that was...
The commercials good. Were bad. The halftime show wasn't bad, but it wasn't memorable at all.
I mean, we'll remember California.
Nope. We will remember SpongeBob coming out and then subsequently being, you know, brushed off the stage in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not super salty about it. I'm glad it was there, but a lot of people are very upset about it, and I totally understand.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, nobody cares about these teams. I say that. Like, Boston people care about the Pats, and LA people care about the Rams, but everyone else in the country either hates or is completely indifferent to those two teams.
Yes.
So nobody wanted this Super Bowl.
Yeah, I only watched it because it was my obligation as a football fan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's only reason I watched
that's
it.
That's it.
There was also pizza.
As a red-blooded American male, I had to watch the Super Bowl, and also there was pizza.
Yeah.
But it was so boring. It was so boring. It was, like, I love defense as much, if not more, than the next guy. But it wasn't even great defense. Like, it was good defense, don't get me wrong, but also it was just bad offense.
Yeah. Especially by the Rams.
Especially by the Rams, which is just so boring.
Yeah. We still don't know what happened with Todd Gurley. Was he hurt? Was he in trouble with the team?
Was it like four carries the whole game?
I think so.
Yeah, it was less than five carries in the whole game, I'm sure. Or five or less, I should say. But yeah, so if you missed the Super Bowl, you didn't.
Yeah, I applaud you for not watching the Super Bowl this year.
Whew. All right, so moving on to something a little bit more exciting than that. We are a Union Sports podcast, and so here we are talking about Union Sports for maybe the third time in this podcast's, you know,
entire history.
Entire history, yeah. UU basketball updates. The women are 23-1. Mark Campbell has won 617 games?
Not 17, like 607 or something.
That's what I said.
He became the fastest coach ever to win 600 games. He was like 693 at one point.
So Mark Campbell, here's to you. All right. Our women are great. We, interestingly enough, don't have like that go-to scorer that we had last year, like Chelsea Shumpert. We have a clear best player, and we have clear defined roles for the rest of our players, which is great, and it's good. It's just also really not exciting to watch.
Yeah, I just don't know that we're going to be able to get past the great teams, especially come tournament time.
Yeah.
Like, if we get to the Elite Eight again, I don't know how we're going to beat the Carson Newmans of the world or the Ashwins of the world. I just don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And last year, I think we had a legit shot to take home a championship.
Oh, yeah, we did. And we still could.
Yeah, we still could.
Yeah.
We have to get it together, and we're going to have to become a tougher team, which Campbell has emphasized all season long. And I think that's gotten a little bit better over the last few weeks since the lost to Wii, but it's still not where it needs to be.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's weird to be this good and also not be excited about it.
Yeah.
Especially as a basketball fan.
Yeah.
However, comma, the men are 15-9, which is not nearly as good of a record as the women's, but also the best record they've had at this point in the season since my freshman year at college. Chap, we're exciting.
Yeah, like, this is a fun team to watch. We have that go-to scorer who can put up any number of points.
We have two of them. One of them has been hurt for
pretty much the whole season.
Yeah.
Tyree Boykin hasn't played much at all this year. It looks like he's probably going to take a red shirt. But Tyrandis Smith, Ran, my boy, has been balling out. He had 20 points in the first half against Christian Brothers two nights ago, even though we lost that game. I mean, he can just put the team on his back and literally score at will, like nothing I have seen at Union, including Charlie Wilson.
Yeah, Charlie was really good at dunking on people and just getting low in the post, but he wasn't an explosive athlete in the same way that Ran is. Ran dunks on people as a friggin' forward, man, like a small forward. He just comes in and puts people on a poster.
Yeah, and we have three guys who can do that. We have Bryson Butler, Tyrandis Smith, and Ty Parks. All three of those guys can just posterize people. Ty Parks can just snatch shots out of the air like 12 feet up and like not just block them, just grab them with one hand.
Like, we have athletes, man.
Yeah.
And they're so exciting to watch. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been showing up to at least the men's games, you're missing out. Like, win or lose, they're exciting games to watch because we haven't just been blown out, really, in any of these games.
Yeah, we play. You'll be listening to this on a Friday, listeners. Tomorrow afternoon, we're playing West Alabama, who's the best team in the conference. Please, please, if you haven't been to any games, come to Fred DeWay. We've got a legit shot to win that game.
This is going to be great. This is a good season. I'm excited. I'm glad that in my senior year, we're pretty much where we were when I came into Union.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited. We're 15-9, going to be 16-9 on Saturday. Guys, come on out. Like, this is high quality basketball. Speaking of high quality basketball, this is the first of the school year, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the Kings.
The Kings are good?
Question mark?
Just period.
I'm like question mark because I didn't know that they had the ability to not be bad.
Yeah, no, the Kings, I mean, they're 30-26 in a stacked Western Conference. They're in the playoffs right now.
They're 19-11 at home, 11-15 on the road. They're good.
Yeah, like, they're in the playoffs right now above the Clippers, the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Timberwolves, all also pretty good teams.
Yeah. The Kings are a game and a half behind the 7th-spot San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, they're no games out in the loss column behind the Spurs. The Spurs are 33-26, and the Kings are 30-26. This is just a good basketball team that I'm starting to think will make the playoffs.
Guys, This is really fascinating. Like, Marvin Bagley has been playing well. 13.3 points per game, 7 rebounds, a block. He's shooting 52% almost from the field, 70% almost from the free throw line, 69%. He's doing well for a rookie, and that's good to see. And De'Aaron Fox, that's the real story. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 17 points a game on 46% from the field, 36 from behind the arc, 7 assists per game. The man's doing it.
Yeah, and he's just been running the offense just incredibly efficiently.
Yeah.
And he's played good defense, too. And I didn't know he was going to be a good defender in the NBA just because he's undersized. And I didn't know he was capable of shooting the three at a consistent rate.
I mean, it's impressive. I didn't know either. I don't know what happened. I don't know who he worked with during the offseason, but
I'm starting to think working with these, like, big names, like the Kobes and all those people of the world.
Doesn't really help.
Yeah, it doesn't really help. Like, Giannis worked with Kobe all offseason just to improve his mid-range shot. And the one thing about Giannis's game that didn't improve was his shooting.
Yeah.
So
I love how you were about to say mid-range shot, and then you realized that's not fair. Also, the Kings now have Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. Harrison Barnes is a good player. I think he fits in pretty well with the way the Kings play. They didn't really have, outside of Bogdanović, a second guy who you can just toss it out to the three-point line and they can shoot it. And Harrison Barnes can do that for you. I don't know. I think the Kings could make the playoffs very easily.
Yeah, and I think the last piece that's really been there for them is Buddy Hield, who's averaging 20.5 points a game.
Yeah.
On 45% shooting from the three-point arc and 48% from the field almost.
Yeah. I mean, Buddy Hield, they actually won that Boogie Cousins trade somehow.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who freaking knew? Oh, my gosh. Speaking of Boogie Cousins, Boogie's back.
Boogie's back.
Boogie's back. And he's playing just as well as he had the previous season.
Yeah, like, he's only playing 24 minutes a game right now, about 6 minutes every quarter. But, I mean, if you expand those numbers out to 36 minutes a game, he's averaging close to 20 points, about 10 rebounds, like, and shooting over 50% from the field.
And Golden State is right now 41-15. So, yeah. Rip the rest of the NBA. They're 9-1 in their last 10. This is a lot. They're on a 5-game win streak. The Western Conference is really good. Which really, really, when you think about it, it seems like a mistake for anyone who, I don't know, could run the Eastern Conference single-handedly for 8 years, 8-9 straight seasons of just, you know, running the Eastern Conference and making it to the NBA Finals. It just wouldn't make sense for them to go to the Western Conference when they turned 33 or 34.
I still don't quite understand the move. I thought he was going to go to Philly, to be honest.
Who are we talking about?
LeBron.
Oh, LeBron. That's right. Boy. LeBron James, who happens to be right now at the 10 slot in the Western Conference, looking from the outside of the playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers aren't a good team right now. They've got some good pieces. Kuzma's a good piece. I still think Brandon Ingram is a hair better than what people say he is.
Fight me.
Just a hair. And I see the potential in Brandon Ingram more than most people. He's a very specific type of player, and that's an ISO player who's got to get into the short mid-range to do much good, and he is very good at that. He's a completely broke man's Kevin Durant that they just found on the side of the road, like a little Kevin Durant coin.
Honestly,
a penny, a nickel at best, but
honestly, yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I don't think he's complete garbage. I don't think he's necessarily a net negative, but he's a net negative. Right now, he's a net negative. He just can't do anything at an elite level except be long and skinny.
I mean, his contested 10 to 12 footers are elite. And that's the only thing about his game right now that is elite.
Yeah. I mean, he shoots 28% from three.
Yeah.
He shoots 48% from the field, which is actually good. 17 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, which at 6'9", you'd think he would be able to come down with a couple more rebounds, like 6 a game.
Yeah.
I would think. 3 assists. I don't know, man. He's got some growing to do. Kuz, I think, is clearly the best Laker not named LeBron James.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you get beyond LeBron and Kuzma, there's not a guy who you can clearly say is a net positive.
Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo is, like, I believe in Rajon Rondo on the court, but I don't think he does anything to help the Lakers locker room. And he's just not on the court enough because he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. He's only played 23 games this season. But this has also been one of his better seasons, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, his passing has been phenomenal, as always.
As always. His three-point shooting is the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, he became a decent three-point shooter in New Orleans.
Decent. I want you to guess what his three-point percentage is right now.
36?
Nope.
What is it?
Higher.
40?
Higher.
What is Rajon Rondo's three-point percentage, Seth?
42.3%.
Oh, my gosh. That's not just field goal percentage?
Nah. His field goal percentage is 44.3%.
You guys can't see it out there in the audience, those of you who are listening, but I am visibly shook.
I mean, honestly, it's wild, right?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I am taken aback, but I'm sorry. Rajon Rondo is a net positive.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. I think the closest thing to a net positive after that is JaVale McGee, and that's just because he gets rebounds and does little else.
Yeah. I mean, he does what he's supposed to do. He plays defense. He gets some boards, and then he catches lob passes from Rondo occasionally.
Yeah. Josh Hart is not what we thought he was going to be coming into the season.
Yeah.
He's shooting 33.9% from three, 40% from the field.
Yeah. And then Lonzo Ball is barely even worth mentioning at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I watch the Lakers, he's just like standing over there in the corner while LeBron is playing point guard. And it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, pretty much. But the thing is, like, you also had to expect that. Like,
yeah.
You thought LeBron was going to let Lonzo run the offense? No.
I know.
No. And Lonzo is averaging 5.5 assists per game. Basically 10 points per game. Shooting 32.9% from three. So that's at least a lot better than he had last year. But only 40% from the field. So he's still got a ways to go. I think there has been some improvement this season, but I don't know.
Daniel, don't know. If you're listening, Lonzo Ball will never be an MVP candidate.
Wait, who said that?
My friend Daniel. You don't know him.
He said that Lonzo Ball would be an MVP candidate.
He said he would be an MVP. Multiple time MVP. After his rookie season.
I can't express to you how incorrect that is. Daniel, bud, just don't talk about basketball again. I don't know you, and you don't know me, but I'm I care about you, man, and I need you to stop talking about basketball as a rule, because oof.
We've been telling you this for years, Daniel.
Dude, that was a bad take. Like, Lonzo Ball may someday in his life be a high caliber starter. He might be a high caliber starter. Probably never an all-star.
Yeah, probably never an all-star unless he goes to the East. And then,
I don't know. Like, it depends. He's got to get more aggressive going into the paint. He's got to be able to hit threes. Sometimes contested. If he can do those things, then he has a shot to be. But
it's
going to
be a matter
of
he's got to be put in the exact right situation. Like, he's got to get Mike D'Antoni as his head coach, basically. And then I think he can work out. But
yeah,
outside of that, I just don't see it.
We'll see what happens. Another thing I really want to see happen is the Eastern Conference makes sense. What is happening?
Oof.
Listen, the Milwaukee Bucks are 42-14. They're number one in the East. They have the best record in basketball right now. It's impressive. They are an impressive team, and I'm not going to discount that at all. Toronto Raptors are 42-16. They're a game back. This is just, it's wild, man. It's wild. The Indiana Pacers at the three,
Yeah, we can
in the Eastern Conference.
Stop talking about the Pacers. I understand they haven't been horrible without Oladipo, but they can't beat, they can't win in the first round if they're playing anyone better than the Nets in the East without Oladipo.
Honestly, the last third, or the last three teams in the playoff picture in the East is a real bad group.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Brooklyn Nets, who are a 500 team, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Detroit Pistons.
Who are both under 500.
Who are both sub 500.
Yeah. And then we've got a situation where the Magic are, I think, a game and a half out of the playoffs or something right now. The Orlando Magic.
The Heat are just above the Magic, too.
Yeah.
So, and then the Washington Wizards at the 11th spot somehow, some way.
Nick Wright, I believe, said the other day that if the Wizards were healthy, they'd be the favorite to come out of the East.
Are you sure?
Someone said that.
Okay.
Some so-called expert.
I hope to God it was not Nick Wright, because Nick Wright, even though I largely disagree with him on a lot of things, is usually not entirely wrong about the teams that come out of the conferences. Granted, those are pretty easy to call most of the time. This year, I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Bucks, the Raptors, or the 76ers.
Or the Celtics. I mean,
it's not going to be the Celtics.
The Celtics have the highest ceiling of any of these teams still, even after the other three teams made trades.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't think the 76ers have passed the Celtics, but Toronto and Milwaukee, they're there. They are at the Celtics level, if not surpassed them.
Yeah, it's just going to be a matter of, can the Celtics get along long enough to make a playoff run and just get to the finals?
Lest we forget, Toronto Raptors acquired the one, the only, Mark F. Gasol.
Is his middle name F?
No.
I mean, Mark Gasol is a good pickup. They lost Valanciunas, though.
Yeah.
Who's another good player.
Yeah, he is. He's a very good player. But also, Marc Gasol can stretch the floor. Let's think about it this way. So you have the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. Their team composition is actually fairly similar when you think about it. They have a go-to, like, automatic bucket on offense, and that's Kawhi and Giannis, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a point guard who is not bad and can actually go get his own bucket when he needs to and is good at setting up his teammates, and Kyle Lowry and Drew Bledsoe. They're shooting guards, both guys who are two-way, they're 3-and-D players. They play good to high-level defense and can hit threes at a really good clip. I would maybe give Malcolm Brogdon the edge over Danny Green just because he's more athletic. Would.
Yeah.
At the power forward spot, you have, who are they playing right now? Serge Ibaka?
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam, who has come out of friggin' nowhere and just blown the NBA world away with his ability to hit threes and all that stuff. And the power forward for the Milwaukee Bucks is Hoomst?
Nikola Mirotic,
who I had forgotten that they acquired him, hits threes at a higher rate than Pascal does, but Pascal is a better inside scorer than
and a Mirotic. Much better defender.
And a much better defender. So I would, you know, give them a decent edge in the power forward spot, but that's not going to make or break these teams.
Yeah.
And then you have at center Brook Lopez and Marc Gasol, who effectively play about the same role. And this season, Brook Lopez is just dominating from three.
Yeah, I mean, they both stretch the floor. They both play good defense down low.
But Marc Gasol is also a smarter player.
Yes.
So
Marc Gasol is maybe the smartest center in the NBA.
Second smartest.
Behind who?
Al.
Yeah.
Al Horford is... just one, probably the smartest like center in the league. That being said, like, imagine these two teams meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It would be a very fun series to watch.
That would be incredible.
But that would mean both of those teams beat the Celtics and or the 76ers, which could absolutely happen.
The 76ers are 1-8 against the teams that are above them in the playoff run in the Eastern Conference, including the Pacers.
They just got Tobias Harris, though, and now they've got the second most complete starting five we've seen in the last 10 years.
And they lost to a Kyrie-less Celtics, in which Terry Rozier did not step up to be Scary Terry. He had 8 points on, like, 3 of 10 shooting.
Yeah, they also, Gordon Hayward happened to go off for 6 of 7 from three, and they lost by 3 points.
But still, like,
yeah,
you cannot go up against a Kyrie-less Boston Celtics team, still lose by three, and think that you're going to beat Boston, Toronto, or Milwaukee in a 7-game playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new team that just got put together as far as Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the Sixers. Right now, the odds in Vegas have all four of those teams at 9-4 to come out of the East.
Really?
Which is nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually really competitive, and I'm enjoying myself so much.
It's the most parity we've had at the top of a conference that I can remember.
Well, it's also, there's a lot of parity at the bottom of the conference, too, just like for the number one draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The Cavs and the Knicks yesterday had, I mean, the Cavs had a chance to take over for the best odds, but, I mean, they had to go beat the Knicks by three. So,
I mean, the Knicks are on a 17-game losing streak.
Yeah. I believe also a 17-game losing streak at home, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably. They're 4-22 at home, 6-24 on the road.
Yeah.
It's bad.
What's crazy is there's been 30-plus teams who have won in the Garden, whether it's, like, college basketball, NBA, college hockey, mm-hmm. high school basketball. There's been over 30 teams who have won in the Garden since the Knicks did. It's absolutely nuts.
Dude, it's wild. It's wild. Everything is crazy. The Chicago Bulls shipped out Jabari Parker. Where did he go again? I actually forgot.
Not sure. Let's look Lucian Chernov up. We can edit this later.
Where did he go?
I think it's one of the bad teams in the East.
Yeah? It's not the Hawks, or the Cavs, or the Knicks.
Wizards.
He went to the Wizards?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
The Chicago Bulls shipped out Jabari Parker to the Wiz. This is just bad. This is just, like, once you get past the 76ers, the entire Eastern Conference is just bad. And the only reason there are, you know, the Nets, the Hornets, and the Pistons in the playoffs right now is because someone has to be.
Yeah.
And they just happen to not suck quite as much as the teams behind
them.
Yeah,
and the Nets aren't a good team, but they're not an absolutely horrible team. Especially when Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert are both
there
on the court.
I was about to say, Spencer Dinwiddie, working miracles.
Yeah.
Basketball Jesus right there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their starting five when those two are on the court, D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Damari Carroll's dead body, and Jared Allen. And that's a decent starting five. Most of those guys are young and will only get better outside of Damari Carroll's dead body.
Damari Carroll's dead body is hitting 11 points a game. 33.8% shooting from three this season.
Yeah.
You told me before he was at a high in three-point percentage.
I thought he was.
That it was incorrect. His career average is 36.
Okay. I was wrong.
You were.
I apologize.
Very incorrect. He's also shooting 38.6% from the field. So now I feel much better. I can continue to call him Damari Carroll's dead body.
Yeah.
I was worried for a hot little minute that I would have to, like, actually just call him the junkyard dog again. No, he's still a dead body. That's cool. But yeah, no, it's wild. The NBA is a lot of fun this year. Luka Doncic is amazing to watch. All these young guys.
I hate that we won't get to watch Doncic in the playoffs. I hate it so much.
Are they statistically eliminated?
No. I mean, they're in 11th right now, I believe.
They are only 4 games out.
They're 4 games out, but they've got like 4 teams ahead of them as well.
No.
Or 3.
3. They have the LA, the both LA LAs teams and then the Kings.
Yeah. But like, I mean, they could still make the playoffs.
So like,
it's very unlikely.
Hey,
though.
If California breaks off of the continental U.S. and drifts into the Pacific Ocean,
then the Mavs are in the playoffs.
The
by
Mavs
default.
Are in the playoffs by default. Let's and, go.
Hey, at that point, I believe the Timberwolves are there too because Golden State's out.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's true. I forgot about that.
Can we
that.
Just eliminate California from the union? Oh wait.
I don't think that's going to stop anything cuz Toronto.
Yeah, I just remembered that. Friggin' dang it.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just this is wild. This is wild, man. It's a good season. And other wild good things happening this season by two players. It's just historic runs by Russell Westbrook and James Harden. James Harden is on what? What is this? What's this run?
30 straight 30-point games.
30 straight games of at least 30 points.
Yeah.
And then Russell Westbrook.
He's averaging over 26 and a half. Or 36 and a half, excuse me, for the season.
And then Russell Westbrook had just beat Wilt Chamberlain's triple-double record.
Yeah.
Is that right?
10 straight triple-doubles. Wilt had 9.
Straight triple-doubles. Who's more impressive?
Those two things are both very, very impressive. But I think the most impressive of the two is the fact that Michael Jordan won 6 championships.
Agree. And since we agree, I think it's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, this has been Layup Lines trying to catch up on everything that happened while we were away.
We didn't come close to catching up on everything.
Not even close. Not even close. There's still a lot to talk about. We'll probably bring things up and mention things that we've not yet talked about. Just stay tuned. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.